Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets, in the car while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to Creature Feature, production of iHeartRadio. I'm your host of Mini Parasites, Katie Golden. I studied psychology and evolutionary biology, and today on the show we are talking about animals who explode. That's right, our very own Creatureheimer. In honor of the Oppenheimer movie, of course, last week we did a Barbie episode about pink animals. This week, we're doing an episode about animals who explode. From tiny explosions to an actual World War II story, all these animals are blowing up, literally.
Incredible. Incredible.
Discover this and more as we discover the age-old question, what's the pond of death? Joining me today is my friend of the show, writer, director, and podcaster, Adam Ganzer. Welcome.
Welcome. I love that even nature bows to the zeitgeist now.
Yeah.
Animals must be trendy.
Animals gotta be on trend. They gotta know.
They do.
What's trending on the socials, on Threads, Blue Sky, whatever that other website is, you know.
Whatever we're calling the internet these days.
But yes, we're doing a Barbenheimer.
I'm excited.
Yes, of course. This week is the Heimer part of the Barbenheimer because we're talking about exploding animals. Adam, how do you feel about explosions?
I was raised in America, and therefore I instinctively pump my fists anytime I see
right.
one. Even when it's a truly tragic situation and I should be helping, I still...
Adam Ganzer still actually kind of likes war crimes. He's into it.
Listen, I've been socialized this way. Nothing is my fault.
Right. Nothing. You can't. There's nothing you can do about it. We get fireworks.
You can't blame that.
We get fireworks. We cheer for fireworks. How are we not supposed to cheer for war crimes?
Right. Right. Our song, our national anthem is literally about exploding
bombs. It's about
bombs
like bursting in
that's
air.
That's our deal.
Yeah.
Right.
We're helpless.
Right. And how noble it is.
We're helpless in the face of jingoism, truly.
100%.
So some animals do indeed explode. And we're going to talk about some mini explosions that are very interesting, very weird, a little gross, somewhat tragic, maybe.
Great.
So.
Great, maybe? I don't know.
So some ants like to pull a bit of an Oppenheimer, which is a new sentence in the English language. So ants like to use themselves as tiny chemical warfare bombs. So a couple of species of ants that do this are C. saundersii and C. explodens, which, you know, Good job on the scientific name for that one.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right to the point. Direct.
These are two related species of exploding ants. They are found in Southeast Asia, and they quite literally have an explosive temper. They will rupture their own abdomen, releasing a small explosion of sticky, yellow, toxic fluid when they are disturbed. So...
Do they die?
Yes. They do not. The explosion, wow. This kills the ant. This the ant does not survive rupturing its own abdomen. It's much like a bee where it stings and its butt kind of falls off. It is the ultimate defensive technique. So they have glands that run through their entire body that is filled with this horrible yellow goo. When they encounter an invader ant or a predator, they will suddenly and sharply contract their abdomen, which ruptures the gland, which basically causes them to burst like a little gusher. And all of this sticky, toxic goop comes out and sprays all over their target.
Like a delicious, dangerous treat.
Yes.
That's how they die.
Next time you pop a gusher in your mouth, just imagine it's an ant doing the ultimate sacrifice.
Dying. That it's dying to defend its colony whilst you enjoy its creamy goodness.
Yeah, except don't eat these. I advise against it.
Right.
Because, it's not delicious gushery goodness. It is toxic and corrosive.
Can I ask a couple? I have questions.
Sure,
ask some questions?
Ask
is that
away.
Okay? So what predator needs these gusher ants to be deterred? Like, what are they deterring?
So they're mostly deterring other ants. So if ants are attacking their colony, they can very easily attack these ants. And basically deterring most other, like, small, it would be other insects, essentially. Like, once you get to bird size, this technique doesn't work very well because the bird's just, it's too big.
Right. They, like, and they'll develop a taste for it. You just watch.
It's gushers to birds.
Have they tried diplomacy? In their evolved state, have they tried evolving diplomacy instead of this? Have they tried that?
Just like they've evolved tiny hands to shake with the other ants.
It's amazing that it's two other ants.
Yeah.
That's my favorite part of this.
It's other. It can be other species of ants, other colonies of, you know, like, well, actually, I guess I've never seen anything about if the same species gets into fights, because then you just have a big goopy mess of these exploding all over each other.
Is it corrosive to them? Like, if they touch the goo, are they corroded? You know what I mean? Like, is it toxic to them?
Yeah, so they avoid it.
Okay.
And, like, the one that explodes is already going to die, so it's no skin off
its right. He goes,
broken back. Yeah.
Off its exoskeleton.
Yeah, so this goo is very sticky. It slows their movements, and it's corrosive, so it kind of dissolves them as well. So it's not great. Get on you.
Is it bright yellow?
It is yellow.
Is it bright
yes.
yellow the way I'm imagining it? Wow.
It is.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like it's, these colors sometimes, you know, like the toxic colors. It's like, yes, that is indeed toxic. It's kind of like, I mean, I guess this is a little bit less like an Oppenheimer and more like that guy in the end of Doctor Strangelove who rides the nuke because, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Wahooing his way into disaster.
Exactly.
It's funny to me that it's in Nickelodeon colors.
Yeah.
I mean, I shouldn't say funny. More like twisted. Like, there's a twisted aspect to that. That it looks cool.
Yeah. It's kind of yellow, little yellow goop.
Right.
You kind of, like, so incredible. When you see it happening, it's not like a little, like, mushroom cloud explosion type thing. You just kind of see an ant wrestling with another ant. And then suddenly one of the ants is, like, covered in yellow goo. And the other ant looks kind of like wrong, kind of broken.
Like a
glow stick that's been
sickening shell.
Like a glow stick that's been snapped in half. Yeah. So this act of explosive self-destruction is called autothysis. It is a type of altruism that, you know, the very extreme type of altruism.
Yeah, I'd say it's as altruistic as it gets, really.
Yeah. So it's not just ants that do this. There are actually some species of termites who also do this behavior. So soldier termites in the species Glossotermes oculatus will, within the confines of their termite colony, grab onto an attacker and explode the glands near their head by nearly beheading themselves and forming a rupture between the head and thorax. Then they excrete a yellow goo onto their attacker, which researchers believe is meant to block the tunnels to the colony and sort of fix the attacker, just glue the attacker into the tunnel.
Yeah, and scares the shit out of their kids, too.
I mean...
Like it just, like, what a prank to pull on your kids.
I mean, it's...
You know what I mean? The head blows off.
Your head just pops off. I mean, this does kill the termite.
Right, obviously.
It's hard to survive sort of like rupturing your own, essentially what's a neck. It's not really a neck, but you know.
Yeah.
So that...
We accept it as a substitute. It's a neck substitute.
It's the termite equivalent to a neck. So the goo acts as a glue and also as an alarm pheromone, alerting the other termites in the colony that there is an intruder. So, you know, basically like you've popped your own head off like a Pez dispenser. You've gooped on this guy and now everyone can smell your goo. And it's like, oh, it looks like Helen found a trespasser.
The sweet smell of terror.
Yeah.
We better go the other way. So I got to assume this happens because creatures are biting their heads off. I got it right. That makes sense, doesn't it?
Well, why? No, not necessarily. They are just kind of the way that they're beheading themselves is by contracting their muscles. So it's sort of
it's a reflexive thing.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like literally kind of like a Pez dispenser flipping its own head back.
I mean, it is the most funny image I can imagine. I think like I've been thinking about it the whole time I've been talking, and the head squeezing off for goo, pretty funny way.
Yeah.
To go.
I mean, the head I don't think comes completely off. That would be really funny, like a champagne bottle with the head just like popping off. But the I
like
think it's more just like it's like near the head, like near where the head and the thorax meet. There's like this rupture, and it just kind of like I don't know, like a little confetti cannon.
Like a movie slit throat.
Yeah.
Like where it just, like it sprays everywhere.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Except this goo is also yellow apparently, which is interesting. I guess yellow is just universal goo color.
Yeah. The color of poison insect
goo. The color of bad goo.
Yeah. So termites are basically already corrosive beings. Like, that's how I feel about
them.
I'm not saying this is true scientifically. They will destroy everything.
Right.
Like, if they get in your house, they're already basically a tub of yellow goo in your walls. You know what I mean? Like, just slowly corroding it. So it's wild to me that some species are like, no, we can do better. We could go further with this.
We could be even more irritating by squeezing goo out of our necks like a tube of toothpaste.
We're going to be like a... Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking. A toothpaste tube of doom. We can be that.
Yeah.
We're aspirational.
If you are worried about termites, if you ever find like a pile of like weird little brown, like tiny brown pellets that you sweep up and it keeps like reforming, you got termites. It's called frass, which is a cute name for an incredibly destructive and horrible problem.
I mean, it's also a cute way for them to murder themselves with toxic goo.
Ah.
They're sort of cute with their benevolent or malicious activities.
With their self-annihilation. It is.
Right.
The Pez technique. It's, you know, good job, termites, I guess.
Can you imagine? What if the guy who invented Pez saw this and was like, I know what I could do.
Right.
Candy.
What if it was shaped like Donald Duck and did candy?
Right. What if it had Goofy's head on it and the head still popped off, but out of its neck came pellets of candy? Kids would love that.
He's genius. Just let me taste one of these. He tastes a termite. He's like, no, this one's no good. I gotta do something different.
I think it's not candy enough. Maybe make it a slightly more candy.
Maybe it should be made out of sugar instead of toxic goo. Very smart.
Right. Yeah. Brilliant man, we assume.
Well, we are going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we are going to talk about a mystery. A very mysterious. An explosive mystery.
Wow.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like how. That sounds like a terrible way for a weekend to go. But I'm excited.
Seems like a terrible way for it to go after you've had some, like, really spicy food.
Thank you. You went right where I'm going. Same brain over here.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, we are back, and we are going to talk about a mystery. The mystery of the 1,000 exploding toads.
That 1,000 exploding toads.
Actually, over 1,000.
That's the low ball estimate of how many there are. Oh, good.
I think it was more around 1,300, but 1,000 exploding toads rolls off the tongue better than 1,300 exploding toads.
Okay, and this is a noir caper, I assume.
Right.
We're gonna find some darkness in the toad heart or whatever.
Yeah. So this actually happened in Hamburg, Germany, in 2005.
Okay.
Public officials and scientists were confused because toads just kept on exploding like little toad balloons with a splatter of entrails up to 3 feet or about a meter away.
Yeah, I'd be confused by that.
Yeah.
Why are animals becoming balloons of goo? Why is that happening? I'd like to know.
Yeah, no, I feel like that's a real head scratcher when you got a bunch of toads that are exploding. real humdinger. Yeah.
You can't just walk past it. That's the kind of case you get drawn in.
Right,
to,
right. You know, you're making little chalk outlines of just a toad sort of splayed out.
It's just a big splatter mark, yeah. Like tracing every line of it.
Sort of a, you know, the goop shape, the wiggly goop shape.
The splatter happened in here, as you'll see.
So, yeah.
In a splatter pattern.
Yeah. Toad splatter experts are actually in high demand. They're very highly specialized. So, yeah, over 1,000 toads died this way. So much so that there was a bit of a panic. Tabloids started calling this area the Pond of Death. People were warned to stay away and to keep their children and pets away in case the pond was full of some kind of mysterious chemical that was causing these toads to explode. Theories went around that it could be some kind of toad exploding pathogen. It could be a pesticide, maybe even a fungus or pollution. They didn't know. It was scary. Even more puzzling is that there were no eyewitness accounts of the toads exploding. So like you would think, you know, someone would at least see one of these toads like just randomly popping off, but nobody had seen it.
This is like Seven for the toad culture.
Right.
It's just like, well, what's at the bottom of this? There's a methodology to it. There's got to be an answer.
Definite M.O. Adam, do you have any guesses what could be causing the toad explosions?
I'm going to guess a real thing in a second. It thrills me to think of scientists getting together and positing what this could be. I just imagine one guy walking into the bicycle pump and just dropping it on the ground. I've got it, guys.
These toads have an inflation fetish, and it's not going well.
A helium tank. He just puts it in there. These are kids that went too far.
It's that scene from Shrek that kids are reenacting, like where, you know, they like blow up the snake and the toad, I think, and make a snake and toad balloon. Remember that?
That makes sense.
It's from Shrek. I always felt really bad for the snake and the toad that got like blown up into a balloon. Balloons, it seems like that would hurt them and be sad for them.
It would hurt them. Also, you get immediately immobilized as a balloon.
Right.
You'd think like, oh, balloon sounds fun. No, man. It's basically like body jail.
Yeah.
You can't go anywhere. You're stuck.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I don't like that. That's a panic attack. Yeah.
Not that's one of my nightmares.
Yeah.
Add it to the pile. I'm going to guess that it's a digestive related issue. Hmm. That they're eating something that's something that is the equivalent of baking soda to the vinegar in their stomach or something. That's what I'm guessing.
A Mentos truck and a Coke truck both crashed near the pond.
There was a surplus of high school volcano projects that year that were all being dumped in the lake.
Yes.
No, I don't know.
So, you know, or could it have been some kind of secret government toad exploding experiment? Like,
I mean, the only other conclusion.
Right, exactly.
The only other option.
Well, apparently the leading theory as to what happened is murderous crows. So, toad expert Dr. Frank Mutschmann believed that crows were carefully cutting open the toad's toxic skin and selectively plucking out the toad's livers based on these small incision marks that Dr. Mutschmann found on the toads.
His name is Mutschmann?
Mutschmann.
Not Mushman.
Right. Mutschmann.
Okay, I'm not making fun of his name. I'm just saying it would have been amazing if his name was Mushman. And that
it
was
would
his
be.
Job. Toad splatters.
I would.
Fair enough.
I would definitely love there to be a Dr. Mushman who studies toads.
come on.
You know, just in a suggestion.
Talk about a destiny.
Yeah. So the reason it would then explode, right, is that toads have this behavior when they are attacked, they will puff up. So they like inflate themselves with air to appear bigger, to look, you know, not very snackable, something that could not easily be swallowed, something that couldn't be easily attacked. But these toads, it was theorized that they had an incision in them from the crows basically doing a liverectomy and eating the liver. And because they had a hole in it, it's like they would fill themselves with air, but then that would just force all their organs out of the hole.
Oh, no.
Like, again,
wow.
Like a tube of toothpaste, you know, like a balloon full of organs. I don't know. Just imagine you're squeezing a bunch of organs out of a hole by pushing air into the toad.
I mean, that's amazing. And also, like, that's actually somehow the saddest thing I've heard so far.
I know.
Like,
just like it's, you know, they're trying to defend itself, but then it accidentally, you know,
it just squeezes out its organs. They're popping out. They're like they're popcorn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like silly string, but out of a toad. Just terrible. Yep.
Yeah. And the string is like vital organs.
Yes, exactly. Well, some scientists weren't satisfied with this theory. Crow behavioral researcher, who I believe is just a crow apologist, Dr. Miriam Sima, believed that crows were not behind the attacks and that crows would not be so picky as to only eat the livers, that like the crow would eat the rest of the organs as well. But my counterpoint as a non-expert to this expert's opinion is that crows are smart and smart animals can be jerks sometimes.
Right.
Like, I think because it happened in like 2005 and it happened in this localized area, I feel like it was just a few crows who were doing this.
A couple of crows got a bad idea.
Yeah. Who learned that livers taste good and that they can selectively grab the liver and just chow that down, because there was this more recent case of orcas, these two orcas who went on a killing spree eating just the livers of sharks. So again, like, orcas very smart, crows very smart. What happens when someone gets too smart, they start eating livers? It's the Hannibal Lecter phenomenon.
Yep. They find out about Chianti. They got a whole thing going on.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Einstein probably ate some livers. Elon Musk not eating livers because I don't think he's very smart.
He's rejecting liver every time somebody offers it to him, which is all the time.
He's just
never even eaten pate.
He's just burning himself trying to make Pop-Tarts. I read that excerpt from there was a book about SpaceX in the early years, and apparently Elon Musk kept burning himself because he was trying to take Pop-Tarts out of the toaster. Anyways,
great. What are the chances that crow doctor is just a bunch of crows in a lab coat? Greater than zero, right?
Plausible.
Scientifically plausible.
Not proven, but plausible. It can't be libel because I'm saying it hasn't been proven. I'm just saying it's plausible.
Correct.
I think that there was like a few crows that were doing this to thousands of toads, just like, and I'll take this liver and that'll be mine.
I'll take that liver.
Yeah. Just like they
yoink. They're saying yoink each time.
Yoink, yoink. Yeah. And crows can talk, so they can probably say yoink.
Right.
So liver is also very nutritious. So I feel like these were just like gourmand crows that learned to appreciate the taste of toad liver and did not really care that the toads exploded or thought it was funny.
I could see them thinking it was funny.
Yeah.
Because honestly, it does seem like a funny image.
It is kind of actually funny. I mean, I feel really bad for the toads, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a toad fan. I think they're cute.
Yeah.
It's still a little bit funny for that to happen. Like, you pluck out the liver and then this toad just inflates until it explodes. You got to admit there's a certain grim humor in that.
You pluck a liver out, it puffs up, and then you just start seeing kidneys spitting out of them like somebody threw a stone from their stomach.
It's like the crow equivalent of getting one thing out of a vending machine, but then it knocks down a whole bunch of other things.
Right. And it all shoots out, and the crow's like, man, we figured everything out. We figured everything out. This is our Xanadu. The pond of death or whatever. That's our Xanadu.
Yeah, it's just like if crows figure out the secret way to make, like, pluck something out of humans that make us explode, like, we're in for it.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Good Lord. They won't stop doing it either.
Yeah.
Like, those crows didn't learn anything.
No, they didn't learn a lesson. Yeah.
They didn't learn anything.
They can't learn. Well, they did learn something, that it's really funny and good to steal livers from toads.
Liver good, explosion better.
Yeah.
That's what they learned.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, we are going to take a quick break, but when we return, we are going to talk about a real World War II story involving exploding animals. So, we're going to talk about a World War II story involving exploding animals, and I promise this is not as horrifying as it sounds. I mean, it is a little horrifying. It's a little bit, so it's kind of funny. It's a little bit
I promise.
Tragic.
I promise it's kind of funny.
It's, you know, it's one of, I would say, I mean, World War II is generally not a funny topic. Hot take.
Generally not.
Generally, it's not funny. Generally, it's horrifying. This is one of the funnier World War II stories. So, unless you're a big fan of rats, which personally I actually am, so I feel conflicted about this story because it's funny, but I feel really bad for the rats.
But it's not like Hogan's Heroes funny.
No.
It's more of a grounded humor, I assume.
It's more of a gallows humor, yeah, kind of.
Yeah. I'm excited.
Not a ha-ha funny, it's a ooh, huh.
Right.
All right.
Ooh, I guess I see.
All right, then.
Laughter heals all wounds.
Yeah.
Okay.
take a stiff sip of brandy and sort of exhale sharply out of your nose, funny. So, yeah, to cap off our Creature Heimer episode, let's talk about World War II. So, arguably, sure, just as consequential as Oppenheimer's work on the nuclear bomb was the effort to create another type of super weapon, the explosive rat. Of course, I'm joking. It was not nearly as consequential as the nuclear bomb because we aren't, you know, currently sort of in a world dominated by mutually assured rat destruction.
That we know of.
But maybe it's the rats pulling all the strings.
Honestly, knowing what I know about crows now,
right?
I know rats are just as smart as crows.
Yeah.
They're just flightless crows, really.
Pretty much. Yeah, rats are quite smart, which makes this a little sadder. So during World War II, British Special Operations got their hands on a bunch of rats. Okay.
Okay.
Good so far. Good job, guys.
I enjoy the idea of the transaction to get that.
Right.
But fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah, just like, Jerry-o, I will need 500 rats, if you please. For our country.
Some government officials, like, you know, sequestering it or whatever for some guy in a back alley.
Yeah.
I'll need all your rats.
Yeah. Keep calm and give me 500 rats.
Give me rats.
Give me rats. All of your rats. So, sadly, they killed the rats. Rest in peace, little dudes. Gone before your time. An unjust end to these poor little rats. Then they taxidermied them, and they sewed a small amount of explosives inside of them.
Okay.
Because they were, look, you know, while Oppenheimer was working on his little nuclear bomb, the British were really getting down to the higher sciences, the more esoteric sciences of what if we sewed some explosives inside of dead rats.
Yeah, what if we jokered some rats? What if we joker bombed a couple of rats?
Right.
Sure, okay.
Right. Yeah, what if it's like that scene in Breaking Bad with that guy's head on a tortoise, except it's rats. And there's, And there's no message. It's just rats.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yeah.
So you might be wondering why you would put explosives inside a rat, how you would use a rat bomb. Well, the idea was this. If these rats were planted in factories, trains, or power stations, they would presumably be disposed of by the German by being shoveled into the boiler or furnace, because it's like you find a dead rat, you're not going to give it a little rat burial. You're just going to throw it in the furnace.
You're going to burn it.
And right. That would cause an explosion and sabotage the boiler. And if the boiler fails, that might cause a larger explosion. So it's like, maybe
this is a real this is kind of a Rube Goldberg device of a plan here.
It's a little bit like absurd. That game Mousetrap, except it's
right.
It's a German trap, but the bait is dead rats. So.
And all of them are mice. Everything they have to do is mice in order to get the trap to go off. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about this plan.
Yeah, it's a bit of a stretch, right? Like, it's a bit of a weird plan. Like, how do you know they're going to throw it in the furnace? How do you know, like, it's the explosion's going to be big enough to actually sabotage the whole factory or train? Well, we'll never know how successful they might have been, because the Germans intercepted the shipment of exploding rats right away. So
that is another amazing twist in the story. And they're like, we could use these rats.
Well, it's interesting because the rat sacrifice was not completely in vain. Apparently, the threat of exploding rats was potentially more effective at inconveniencing the Germans than if the rats had actually been successfully deployed, because German military command became kind of paranoid that there were more exploding rats out there and had to use their resources to try to find the other exploding rats and get to the bottom of these exploding rats.
Oh, my God.
Unbeknownst to them, as soon as this first shipment of rats was intercepted, British special operations just gave up. They just dropped it. They're like, ah.
Maybe this whole thing's been bad and dumb.
Yeah, like.
Maybe.
Now that I reflect upon things, maybe explosive rats was not the genius idea that'll win this war. So they just dropped
it. Perhaps tripwires would be more effective, or just putting bombs there already.
Perhaps. Pigeons with spikes. Yeah.
I know. Let's get a really big bomb and drop that on them instead.
What about a really, really large rat with a bomb inside of it?
Now you're talking, Humphrey.
Exploding so nutrients.
They started sewing rats together to make a super rat.
Rat parachute. Parachute made out of rats. Rat aeroplane. They gave up. But there were no more exploding rats, but the Germans wasted a bunch of resources trying to find more exploding rats, trying to figure out what the whole plan is with the exploding rats. Certainly it couldn't be as simple as them just sending the shipment of exploding rats. So they wasted a bunch of time trying to, like, basically go on this red herring, like, trying to figure out what was going on with the exploding rats, when really it was as stupid as it seemed and unsuccessful as it seemed. But the Germans were like, they must be up to something really insidious with these exploding rats, and we've got to figure that out. So they wasted all this time.
This is extraordinarily funny.
I know.
Like, you undersold how funny this is. Like, I'm like, in my brain, I'm like, this is such a great comedy movie. Like, just one guy's obsessed with, I can make bombs and rats. And everyone's like, bad idea. Dude, super bad idea. He's like, just give me a battalion of guys, a couple million pounds. You'll see. Right? Fails immediately. But then, of course, the Germans get very worried. And they start to, you know, mutually assured rat destruction, as you said. Movie writes itself. It's a perfect movie.
This is, I don't understand why Quentin Tarantino didn't make this movie.
Right. After his final film, his 10th film about a movie critic, how about Rat Bombs?
Right.
You know, Rat Bomber. Look, let's make that.
I know that basically all of Hollywood is on strike. So I'm not going to be a scab. But you need to cave to the requests of the writers, because we need this rat movie. We need it
now.
Yeah,
we need Rat Bombers. We need it.
We need it.
It would heal the world.
It would.
So
please give the writers and the actors fair living wages, because I need the exploding rat movie.
That's right. And play this on a loop during the Academy Awards. This
right.
conversation.
Right.
Where we talked about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Do that.
Maybe, exploding rats in the Academy Awards, but they're not real. But okay. Back up. They're not really exploding rats. Because,
right.
of course, we don't want to hurt anyone. But just
right.
the idea that there could be exploding rats might make
it. Spice it up.
Might make it less likely for someone to cross the picket line. I'm just saying. You never right. know when a rat might explode.
That's right. That's the feeling we want movie audiences to have.
Yeah.
Every rat is your enemy now.
Yeah.
You know?
That was in that yeah. movie, like with Matt Damon and Leonardo DiCaprio.
The Departed?
Yeah. I just remember it as the rat yeah. movie, but yes, The Departed.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. Did you know, by the way, that they didn't have the final shot with the rat when they first shot that movie? The editor told Scorsese, you need this last thing. You need the rat at the end. And they shot it in pickups.
Huh.
That's what I've heard. I've heard that.
They just call up this rat actor at 3 a.m. It's like, yeah, what do you need? Ah, yeah, you got a movie. You want me to be a
rat's
medical?
It's time.
All right. Serving coffee? Okay, I'll come.
Finally, it's rat's time to shine. Yeah, that's what I heard. I wasn't there, so I did laugh
involuntarily when that popped up, because like I was enthralled by the movie and really into it, and then as soon as they zoomed out and showed us a rat, come on.
I get it bro. I get the idea,
but if the rat had exploded,
then whole other idea,
right.
whole other feeling,
right.
greatest movie of all time. Maybe.
And then they could end with like the end ...
Exactly. Right. The only appropriate ending. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't know.
We need that rat swerve.
Exactly. Well, I think we've covered as many exploding animals as I can take without starting to spiral into an existential crisis about, you know, rat assured destruction.
I'm going to cry for 2 hours after this podcast.
Just for every single toad that exploded. Yeah. Those poor toads.
Yep.
Don't care as much about the termites.
No, I think of them as evil.
Well,
and their death as a victory for me.
I mean, if you think about it, though, they used to just eat trees, but then we turned the trees into houses. So what are they going to do?
That's true. I'm going to refuse to think about that. I'm going to do.
No introspection. Thank you. Well, before we go, we've got to play a little game, Adam. Do you like games?
Oh, great. Sure. And then a rat opens, like, I open an envelope,
like,
and it's a rat.
Would you to play a little game?
Yeah, I'd love to.
You just open a present. There's a rat inside. And inside the rat, there's a smaller present. And inside that present, there's a bomb.
Yep.
So we are going to play a game called Guess Who's Squawking, the Mystery Animal Sound game.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Every week I play a Mystery Animal Sound and you, the listener, and you, the guest, try to guess who is making that sound. It can be any animal in the world. Last week's Mystery Animal Sound hint was this. Don't get too cocky. You may have to think further back to get this one right. So, Adam, any guesses?
So, just to be clear, the hint was for this animal?
Yes. Don't get too cocky. Okay. You may have to think further back to get this one right.
Because, I mean, it sounds like a rooster, but it's not that. It's some, you say further bat to get this one right?
Further back.
Okay. So, not, it's not
a pun. You
know,
the common phrase, further bat.
Yeah, that's what I was like. Right, what is this, a Batman riddle? Like, what do we...
Riddle me this, Batman.
Yeah, exactly. Answer me this.
What became before the chicken and the egg? Oh, that would have been a better hint. What became before the chicken and the egg? Riddle me that, Batman.
Batman. I'm going to go ahead and guess... That you mean further back, like on the evolutionary scale.
Interesting.
And say this is some kind of lizard. Some kind of, that's what I'm going to guess. Everything else in me is saying, no, Adam, no chance it's a lizard. But I'm going to go ahead and I'm trusting your hint on this one.
Some kind of lizard? No. You're wrong.
Yeah. no, it's so wrong.
congratulations to Jack M, Joey P, and Grant W for all guessing correctly. The red jungle fowl. So the red jungle fowl is a tropical species of bird that lives in Southeast Asia. When you look at one, it might seem kind of familiar. It looks very similar to a rooster. It is smaller and more brightly colored than a rooster or a chicken. But around 8,000 years ago, the jungle fowl was domesticated and it spread across the world and it speciated into chickens and roosters, the ones that we know as our lovely farm animals.
So I was right about it being an ancestor.
Yes.
But wrong about how far back to go.
Yeah. Unfortunately, if you had guessed dinosaur instead of lizard, you'd technically be correct because birds are still technically dinosaurs. So if you're like, maybe it's a dinosaur, I would have had to give it to you.
Which would have been even sillier for me to say, because how would you have a recording of a dinosaur? But okay, sure.
Sadly, Adam, you were wrong. So this pile of dead rats shall not be going home with you.
You must now pick which rat is the one you must open. We have lots of rat jokes today.
We're really leaning into the rat jokes.
We really are.
On to this week's mystery animal sound. The hint: she may seem to have a tough exterior, but Betsy here doesn't like to be bothered. You hear that?
Yeah, yeah.
Any guesses?
She may have a tough exterior, but Betsy here doesn't like to be bothered. And I thought I was going to get a cow clue or something. I also said bird. I'm going to guess it's some kind of, like, it's related to an ostrich.
Interesting. Related to an ostrich. Some kind of rat-type bird. Well, maybe you're right, maybe you're wrong. I can't say, because we will reveal the answer on next week's episode of Creature Feature. If you think you know the answer to this week's Mystery Animal Sound, you can write to me at creaturefeaturepod@gmail.com. And hey, if you have any other questions or comments or whatever, you can also email me. I won't be mad. And Adam, where can people find you?
Well, I'm definitely going to stay on X.com, where you can find me. You can find me on X and away.
Yeah.
At The Real Gans. I'm also on every other social media site, including Hive still somehow, at The Real Gans. And, you know, you can find my Twitch channel, same. And my podcasts are mostly on a Patreon called Small Beans, where I do talks about directing and about lots of other movie-related stuff, video games, all kinds of stuff. Come check me out.
Yeah, check it out. Small Beans and every single, like, I don't know, there's 20 social medias now that we've all got to be on simultaneously and somehow.
I check Blue Sky. I'm still checking Threads. I don't know. We'll see about Threads.
I'm just...
And Hive is just funny to me at this point.
I'm so tired.
Yeah. It's not good. None of it's good. None of it's good.
Yeah. I need like an army of exploding toads to manage all these social media accounts. I don't know how they'll do it, but...
I need a crow to selectively rip out X's liver
so that
it finally explodes and we can...
Tell the crows their delicious livers inside of our keyboards, and then they can post on all these websites.
Exactly.
Well, thank you guys so much for listening. If you're enjoying the show and you leave a rating and review, I greatly, greatly appreciate that. I literally read every single review, and all the ratings really do matter a lot to me because they help the podcast appear decent to other people. And thanks to the Space Cossacks for their super awesome song, Exolumina. Creature Feature is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts like the one you just heard, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or Kiss Smith, wherever you listen to your favorite shows. See you next Wednesday.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.